Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Troy and Michael Speak. This is a show dedicated to exploring the tools you can use for understanding, nurturing, and building your personal universe. The channeling and teachings shared here are based in what is known as the Michael Teaching, as taught by the entity we've come to refer to as Michael. For more information and a basic introduction to the teachings, please see truthloveenergy.com. I'm Troy, your host and resident Michael Channel, and on today's show, we're going to take a fun and interesting look at the year of 2007 in review. It's important to look back and observe what patterns there may have been in our world, as well as in our personal lives, so we can learn to navigate even more effectively in our present. If you would like to call during the show, please have your fingers ready to dial. The number is 646-200-0772. That's 646-200-0772. And we'll be bringing guests onto the air at about 50 minutes or so into the show. So if you get through before that, just hang in there. We'll also take questions from the chat room provided by the Blog Talk Radio chat room just below the stream for the show. On today's panel, we have as guests Sandy, Cypress, and the return of Karen Ouellette. Woohoo! So sit back, take a deep breath, and let's look backwards so that we can walk forwards even more in balance. Enjoy the show. Tuning in to another episode of Troy and Michael Speak, and I can't believe it's 2008. It's so weird to remember way back when the year 2000 seemed so futuristic and far away, and now here we are 8 years into the 21st century. That's just amazing. So as we begin the show, what I'd like for you to do is listen, of course, but also take a few moments to consider what has stood out for you for your 2007, and that includes the panel who is on hold. Thank you for calling in, little panel. So look back over your 2007 and think about your past on these three levels. Think about, one, what stood out to you about 2007 in terms of world events? Now, probably a lot of things could come up, but just think about a couple of things that stood out over 2007, and probably if you asked yourself this on another day, it might be a different answer, but for now, just think of a couple of things. Also ask the question, what stood out about you or about your 2007 in terms of relationships? Like, was there anything significant or anything big that came up or resulted in 2007? Also ask what stood out to you about 2007 in terms of your health or your material world. Just anything that stands out, anything that comes to mind. And finally, ask yourself what stood out to you about 2007 in terms of your personal growth or maybe your changes in philosophy about life. You know, just what's come out of 2007 that stood out about the way you look at life. I think those are great places start. So just take a little time to ponder those while we introduce the show and while the panel discusses. And because these questions or these answers to these questions might come in handy during the call-in part of the show. So that'll be really helpful. For me, 2007 was one of the worst years I've ever experienced. Now, I'd like to be all new agey and all big topic and evolved and say how much I learned from it, how much I gained from it, and how I would do it all over again. But I guess I'm not that evolved because it was hell. I thought the whole experience of, you know, changing my life to follow my heart, moving to another country, almost dying, and then being dumped was pretty shitty. So it wasn't something that I would wish on anybody. And don't forget the diagnosis of a terminal illness on top of all that. So you, as you can see, 2007 for me was a hoot. Okay, no, seriously, our experiences don't inherently carry lessons within them, and they are not imposed on us. I think of our experiences as products of our decisions, our choices, our actions, and even reactions. And sometimes those patterns that result from our choices aren't obvious, but there is a definite path that can be traced from one choice to another that has led you to where you are today, no matter if you've been dumped, experienced shattered dreams, almost died, or even if you found bliss. It's not always necessary to understand exactly how you got to where you are, but it is always beneficial to understand what to do from where you are now. That's really important. The more consciously you make choices along the way, the more obvious your path becomes, and it's easier to sort of direct things the more conscious you get. Not always with the exact results that you intended, but at least there's an awareness of why you are where you are. For me, the truth is that while my 2007 was a horrible, painful experience, and yes, I can joke that I wouldn't want to do it all over again, and frankly, I wouldn't want to, but I gain a lot of peace and trust in my current moment by realizing that what happened to me over 2007 was based on my choices. I mean, I really feel responsible and comfortable owning those choices that led me to where I was. I mean, I'm the one who decided to follow my heart. I'm the one who decided to move to another country to pursue love, relationship. And what starts to become confusing is how does being dumped or almost dying or being diagnosed with a terminal illness tie into my choices? Well, it's not always about what happens to us, but what we do with what happens to us. For one thing, being dumped is just a part of life. It's like, for me, it's like deciding to play hard with the other kids on the playground and skinning your knees. It's not that the choice was to skin your knees, but that playing on the playground with other kids can often include skinning your knees. So what makes one kid skin his knee over another is not always obvious, but I can guess that some people on the playground get an elbow to the eye or a kick to the groin or their hair pulled, but it's all the same. It's just part of the game. Issues of health and diet are easily overlooked in our lives as we are a species that is so adaptable, but there are consequences to those little choices and decisions we make every day, and mine led me to an apparent immunity failure, and that's that. So it's still all related to choices. Just sometimes we can't anticipate all the consequences from those choices, and it can look like things happen to you, but really, life happens from you, not to you. Now, what I do with all of this from here is up to me, and right now, I'm going to choose to get on with the show. Woohoo! So before I bring on the panel, what happened to my accent there? Before I bring on the panel, I do want to share with you the overleaves for 2007, as shared from Michael sometime during 2006. They always give the overleave sometime between December and January for the year ahead. And now remember, if some of the terminology here is unfamiliar, just hop on over to truthloveenergy.com and check out the basic intro sometime. That'll really help you a lot. But the overleaf system, as shared by Michael, is this beautiful map of words used to describe pretty much anything that's made up of a form of consciousness or energy. For the most part, the overleaves are used to describe our personalities within a lifetime, and that helps us understand exactly how we behave so we can begin to make more conscious choices. Well, any time frame can also be described with the overleaf system because there is consciousness involved. A collective consciousness made up of all the people on Earth at the time. We can look at each month, we can look at 6 month periods, or we can look at years, or even each century as being broken down into a set of overleaves And these overleaves are only assigned as a way of helping understand the energies that are set in a pattern of momentum, but they are not predictions. It's a lot like getting a weather report based on various factors coming together over time. So here's what Michael had to say about 2007, and you might want to get your pen and paper ready to take some notes, because I'm going to give the overleaves out here. But this is directly from Michael. I'm going to read it. So here's what they had to say. Though energies shift, change, and adapt all year, there is a general energy that can be said to affect a calendar year, at least in terms of your shared reality. Our overleaf system can be used to describe any collection of energies ranging from the dynamics of the actual personality to a general mood of a room, society, fictional character, theme of groups, or a planet's general atmosphere of consciousness. In addition to this, when a block of time is selected, that time frame can be translated into a description of energies based on what we perceive as the momentum of events, consciousness, and choices that will potentially contribute to that period of time. The overleaves for a year, then, are our interpretation of those events, consciousness, and choices as we see that they are most likely to be brought to bear in your world. The more participating one is in the world, the more likely these energies will be of concern. Though one's inactivity does not exempt one from world or local energies, any more than staying inside can take away the effect of a rainstorm. The rainstorm outside can have as much an effect on one inside as on one who is outside, depending on personal interpretations and experiences of that rainstorm. The very basic energy or basic context of a year can be described in two overleaves, the role and the centering. These two basic energies are those that can contribute to your year feeling comfortable or challenged during the year unfolding, depending on your own overleaves and your method of participation in the world. These two energies are most obvious in the first 3 months of a year, but their effects will remain steady throughout the year. In addition to these basic energies, the goal, as described in this set of overleaves, for the year will become implemented in those first 3 months. It can be said that all of the overleaves we use to describe the year are in effect all year, but the particular frames of time described below are the seasonal emphasis of those particular overleaf qualities. So the general seasonal energy emphasis are the entire year is based within the energies of the role and the centering. So at any point in the year, you can refer back to that as a basic underlying tone. But January through March implements and emphasizes overleaf that's described as the goal. April through June implements and emphasizes the overleaf that's described as the mode. July through September implements and emphasizes the overleaf described as the attitude. And October through December implements and emphasizes overleaf described as the chief negative feature or basic fears. With all of that being explained, we would describe the highest probable energy for the year 2007 with these overleaves. So the 2007 overleaves were the role that set the tone for the year was warrior. The centering was higher intellectual. The part of center didn't really apply because it's a higher center, and I guess that just didn't apply. The goal for the year was dominance. The mode was observation, the attitude was realist, and the chief negative feature was stubbornness. And Michael goes on to say, while we do not and cannot predict, we can share with you what these energies may mean for you in the year ahead. And they go on in that particular article to talk about the previous year so that there was context for why it transitioned into the current year. And that's what we're going to hopefully do today. So keep all of this in mind as the panel opens for discussion and for when the lines are open for callers. So now I'm going to bring on our panel. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Troy.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Troy.
Hi, Cypress.
Hi.
Took me a minute to get you in there. So introduce yourselves again. For all the newcomers to the show, just introduce yourself with your role, your casting, and your cadre and entity number.
Hi, this is Cypress. I'm a Sage Cast Sage.
Cadre 1, Entity 2.
This is Sandy. I'm a Scholar Cache Sage, and I'm in Cadre 2, Entity 2.
And hi, I'm Karen. I am a Warrior Cast King in Cadre 1, Entity 5.
And I'm Troy, a Sage with Server Casting from Cadre 1, Entity 2. Cypress and I are in the same entity. Hello,
Edward. Hi, Lou. We're in the same cadence, too.
We're in the same cadence, if anybody knows what that means. If you don't, you can look it up.
That's right.
You guys, just don't get sick of being next to each other.
We're not next to each other.
Yeah, we got
one and I'm five.
Yeah. We're far enough away. That's why she has to yell so much. She's a few seats away.
Me.
Anyway, that was all kinds of in talking for those of us who understand the micro teachings. But so I gave you guys a list of questions to ponder. And what would you guys do? You guys ever look at the overleaves and refer to them throughout the year to help you understand what's going on in the world? Are they practical to you guys?
Okay, this is Sandy. You know, when I get them, I'm always so excited, and I think they're going to have so much meaning for me. And at the end of the year, when we look back at them, I can usually see how that worked. But during the year, I don't very often think about it.
Okay.
Well, I think the same thing as Sandy, except I do know that as the quarters pass, sometimes that is noted, like on list or something like that. It brings it back to my attention. But, I notice more that reviewing it makes it more obvious.
Yeah, that's why I thought it would be a good idea to do this kind of show. To start the year instead of, you know, starting off. Because we do. We get a lot of, I've noticed that a lot of people are very eager for the new, and but there's not a lot of comprehension of what has come to pass. And so I think it's important to look back and put things in perspective and then move on from there. I think that you'll get more out of, you know, I think it's one of the reasons why they're not useful at the beginning of the year or throughout the year, because we just get excited about it and then move on to the next thing, but we don't use it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
Karen?
Karen, did you?
I agree.
Yeah. So, well, if we think about last year as being in the context of a warrior year, I know this is a lot to kind of think about on the spot, but does it make any sense to you? If you think about, I don't know, the tone of last year, did it? And we think about what it means, what a warrior means in terms of the role, which means, you know, persuasion, which is about the positive pull of the warrior is about persuasion, which is about encouraging or inspiring people to do things for themselves by their own choice. And you get them to do things that are good for them and without, you know, having to push them. And then the negative pull is, I think, coercion or something along those lines right now.
It is coercion.
Oh, yeah, coercion. And that's where you push people to do what you think is, you know, best for them or as a way of protecting them, and even against their will. So if we think about the past year as having an undertone of, did I make decisions that were good for me and that I felt were good for me versus I felt forced into situations where I had to acknowledge what was best for me, you know, even against my will, do you see either of those poles showing up for you the past year?
Well, I definitely... Oh.
Cool.
With the sages.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think that it was a year of stuff happening. It seemed like a lot of stuff happened, and warriors are very doer-type people. They get things done, and things get done. So in that sense, I definitely really feel the warrior resonance to this year. And I think that, I mean, it goes back and forth, positive and negative pole, regarding decision-making, because there are a lot of decisions that I made that probably a lot of other people didn't like, but I made them, and I think they were the best decision, and I felt good about them. And there were other decisions that I feel were I was pushed into, whether they were for my own good or whether they weren't for my own good, because I don't necessarily think they had to be for my own good. There were some decisions, I think, where I was pushed into that weren't in my best interest, but I was coerced into it. So I really feel that it was a spectrum, you know. It really was, but it was a very busy year and a lot happened, and I do associate that generally with the warrior type energy.
Yeah, did it feel like, I guess you could break it down, did the year feel like it kind of directed you in directions that you gained something from, or did it feel like you were bullied in those directions? Were you encouraged in certain directions, or were you bullied in certain directions?
Yeah, I really do think it was a spectrum.
Yeah. Sandy?
I got to say the same thing, and that was what I was going to say from the beginning, was that I just felt both sides of that happened a lot. A lot happened this year. There was a lot of decision-making in some of each. Some of it was, I think, that I learned to make good choices, and I was happy with them. And other times, things just seemed to be thrust upon me, and some of those I was happy about, too, but some
yeah.
not. And I kind of wondered about that. You know, I have a disincarnate warrior essence twin, and if I've been wondering if that made this warrior year that much more powerful for me. Because I've felt so much warrior energy this year that it's unreal.
Oh, interesting. Karen?
Well, I have warrior casting, so, I mean, I did take my life in certain directions that I wasn't really planning to, but I kind of just feel drawn to. I didn't feel bullied at all. I just felt like, I think for me it was a more active year.
Yeah.
In terms of just getting a lot done, which kind of surprised me, because sometimes I don't get a lot done when I want to get things done. What also kind of surprised me is I expected the year to be, across the, again, the world to be more active, but, we didn't start any new wars. You think in a warrior year, there'd be, stuff happening on a worldwide basis, and it kind of didn't seem like there was, major disasters,
I can think of
them blocking them out. It just didn't seem like it was, as brutal a year as we've had in the past.
True.
Well,
Cypher, is that you?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that when he was mentioning that in the beginning intro about the planet and things. And I was really trying to see how that applied. And I was thinking, I think this year a lot of things, small type things, started. Like, I feel like, and I could be extremely wrong, but I feel like people have finally gotten it through their heads that things are not working the way they are going now, and that it has to change. And I really think that in the past, clearly by the fact that Bush was elected twice, which still baffles my comprehension, I think that more things have started that are smaller, that are building towards something else. So maybe the actual big events did not happen, but I guess I feel like the energy is shifting more.
Well, also think about the context of the year being set in the higher intellectual centering. So that means, what's the role is going to set sort of like a tone for the year, but what happens during the year is a lot of relation, or it's related a lot to the centering. And if this was a higher intellectually centered year, then that means that what was on the table was our truths, what we consider to be true. And our higher philosophies, the way that we experience truth. So I think that that's one of the reasons why you didn't see a lot happening, because most of it was on a philosophical level. And the warrior is about strategy. So I think that we either were confronted with our concepts of truth throughout 2007 because we either threw caution to the wind and threw out all of our strategies, and that's where the experience of feeling bullied came in, or we took time and made a plan and implemented some strategies and faced our truths that way. I think that's the way I've experienced 2007. I was bullied. I threw caution to the wind and got knocked around.
Well, I was just thinking about just the whole global warming and how the green movement really just suddenly it was like hot. Like, the idea that the planet's in a bad state is not new, but all of a sudden this year people started talking about it. And
yeah, even
celebrities
politicians
are doing TV commercials and public service announcements, and you know, people are starting to pay attention to that. I'm like, out of the blue, so maybe, you know, that may have had something to do with the warrior, you know,
yeah,
just
definitely
getting things moving.
They do like to get stuff done.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you guys, in looking at the overleaves for 2007, comparing them to yours, do you see conflicts? Like the goal of dominance, observation mode, attitude of realist? We'll start with those three things. Or even the role, and the centering doesn't really apply in this case, it's the higher center, but the role being warrior, I can see that relating to Sandy and Karen, but for Cypress and me, that's like opposite.
Anti us?
Stop picking on me.
Yeah, we're not big on the action.
Yeah, I don't have anything in the action area except for my chief negative features.
Yeah, I think that's the same for me. I'm not sure. I'd have to look at. But dominance, observation, realist. Well, having a year that's emphasizing the realist attitude is a little different for me, considering I'm an idealist. So I had to face, you know, the realist attitude is about, you know, seeing the world as it is, sort of being stripped down from all of our concepts of potential and just really looking at it from the present, at what it is. And I really had, that's for me, I had my idealism knocked on its ass and shown like a reality check about a lot of different parts of my life, at least. Was that the case for you guys too, or was it gentler on you?
You know, I'm an idealist too, and I think that my idealism fought the realism of the year right up until the bitter end, and I don't know that I really made much progress in getting a realistic look at the world. I think I ended the year just as much with my rose-colored glasses as I started it. My idealism is pretty profound in my life, and it's responsible for more than I ever realized. And oddly enough, I didn't realize that so much till this year.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a realistic
effect. Look at your idealism.
Oh, that's kind of true, huh? I never thought of that.
Yeah, you just described the effect on it.
Oh, well, there you go.
But that's exactly where I was, too, maybe to a greater degree than you, but because of what my choices this year. But, yeah, I had to really look at my life from a very realistic place and sort of stand with both feet on the ground and move forward from there instead of, you know, fluttering around on wings, just landing occasionally.
Yeah.
Who's giggling? Who's giggling?
Me.
Oh.
Karen.
Yeah, how
I had a visual there of you with wings. Huh? Like,
how did it show up for you, Karen?
Well, I am a realist. So,
oh, there you go.
I mean, I was, like, happy that finally people were waking up to smell the coffee. I mean, it's, you know, I just never had any rose-colored glasses on, you know. It sounds kind of like a sad existence, but you know, you see what's going on in the world, and it gets a little frustrating when you don't see people acting on it and thinking it's going to change, you know, or somehow it's going to correct itself, and that's frustrating for someone who's a realist, especially in a year that it's not realist or anything practical.
Oh yeah, must drive you crazy.
You are so funny.
So would that mean for you this past year was a little more satisfying, seeing the emphasis on, okay, we've got a reality here to deal with?
Yes.
Oh, that's...
I finally feel like once people, like, open their eyes to it, maybe something can get done. Unless we have, like, an artisan year or something, and then nothing's going to get done.
Jeff, it might be.
We'll all be just looking around at each other.
But artisans create things.
Yeah.
Confusion.
Chaos.
No role bashing on the show.
Oh, it's said in love. I have an artisan's essence twin.
Okay.
So do I.
Well, I just want to point that in the chat room, some of the people are saying they can't hear me or Karen as usual, even though we're on the upgraded new line. So, Karen, speak
also,
a little louder.
I'm in the chat room, and the only person in here also is Needs27 Heidi.
Yeah,
and
you guys are in the wrong
chat room. But I'm like, I have no idea. Shouldn't Sandy be in here? So I'm, and
yeah, I think you're in the
it.
Wrong chat room.
You know what?
How do you get into your chat room?
Well, you need to go to blogtalkradio.com.
Oh, that's why.
/truthloveenergy. Is she in the, what are you guys in, the truthloveenergy.com?
It's a website chat room. So how do we get into yours?
Go to blogtalkradio.com/truthloveenergy.
Might have to tell her that, and she can't hear me. Okay, blogtalkradio.com/truthloveenergy.
Yeah. And then you should see the show pop up. Make sure it's muted because it'll start streaming. And
just go in the chat room and tell her that. Just in
okay.
case you can't hear me.
Thanks, Karen. So,
well, I didn't. I was going to comment that you see these roles of 2007 really go against the grain of my being in general. none of the overleaves or anything are very comfortable for me.
Yeah.
And it was sort of an uncomfortable year.
Well, if you think, well, that's, I think, because we have a goal of acceptance for the lifetime. And being in a year of dominance means, you know, that's pretty much about taking control, taking charge, you know, leadership. And I think that's a little bit difficult for us because we're used to kind of rolling with the punches because of our goal. And then to have a year where it's kind of emphasized that, well, you don't have to roll with the punches in order to learn how to accept. You can also take charge and make choices consciously to create what you want. And it seems like 2007 really brought that out, that sense of ownership of our choices and the dealing directly with the consequences of our choices instead of just sort of dealing with it later or letting them build up.
That's true.
For me, exactly what it was.
Well, for me also, I think that there were so many changes made through choices, through my own choices, through choices other people made that affected me, that kind of thing. Just all throughout the year, there just seemed to be a lot of changes in which the stubbornness for me was really highlighted. The fact that, you know, I can either, you know, how do I deal with all these changes? And I'm not super fond of changes in general. I have stubbornness imprinting from my father, so it's, you know, it was difficult, but I do think that, you know, taking charge of our lives and making changes and making choices for ourselves was really a highlight for all of us this year.
Anybody else want to chime in on that?
I just would like to say that I think that the stubbornness did have, as a chief feature of the year, it did have a lot of impact on me. And I think to the point that for a lot of the year, it pushed my own chief features backwards a bit. And it kind of took front and center stage very often. And I don't know if that was always a bad thing.
Ah.
Because a lot of the things that I've had trouble fighting in my chief features, because I have arrogance and self-doubt, and they've caused me a lot of problem. And this year, because of that stubbornness pushing on me, when I was sure about that I was right about something, I wasn't so quick to let myself dip convince me I was wrong. And that stubbornness seems to have given me some backbone that I much needed.
Hmm. I wonder if that was resulting from stubbornness or something else.
Maybe dominance and taking charge
yeah.
of your opinions
it might have been
and
more,
choices.
Because if there's no real positive results from chief features,
yeah.
so maybe it was dominance. It was that stance of you know, being control and owning your rights and you know and because unless there was a defensiveness about it. If there was defensiveness as a part of it, then it might have been motivated by the stubbornness. That, I think, would be the way to differentiate
yeah.
whether it was stubbornness or whether it was dominance. Because if it was dominance, you would be comfortable with your stance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think I was.
Oh, okay, good.
To a very great degree, at least. I think I was very comfortable with it. But it was just very not like me because it's always been my instinct, if anybody objects to what I say, to back down, at least verbally, even
yeah.
if I didn't change my mind.
Yeah.
to just pretend that I thought they were right because I didn't want them to not like me.
Oh, there you go.
And this year, I just didn't care so much. I was willing to fight with even people I love.
Oh, I was there.
Yeah.
That would be me.
Those were things that I couldn't have done in the past. Doesn't it feel
good?
Well,
I think that's a mark of true love too. It's like you can get out your claws and you can take your stances, and you feel safe. It's not you don't feel threatened. You just feel the feelings that go along with the relationship, and that's normal. That's good.
Yeah, and just very much of a this is what I feel and this is how it is, and it doesn't have to be right. But it does have to be mine.
Yeah, there you go. That's a fair. It sounds to me like dominance was helping you. So, any other comments before we go on to the next subject?
Can we just keep these overleaves to 2008? They work well with me.
No, I don't think so. I think that 2007 is well left in the past.
Yeah, I was like, good riddance, 2007. But no, just like I said in the intro, you know, we take from it what we can, and if we had a real tough time, then, you know, you just have to find the meaning in it for you. I don't like the idea. Some people, you know, try to push this idea that we got lessons assigned to us or imposed on us, but I don't think that at all. I just think they're experiences, and we take from them what we can. It's not, you know, and I could be bitter and annoyed, and I have been, or I could, you know, take it and use it as a strength based on what I learned. So that's what I'm going to do.
You know, I have a problem with that too, Troy. I don't believe we have anything imposed or assigned, but I think that we make certain choices, and when certain things happen, we do learn certain lessons from what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we can reject
that. And I don't think you can call that an imposition, but at the same time, you didn't consciously choose the lesson. You just made the choice to take an action, and the lesson is the result.
Well, yeah, definitely. But see, let's say three people were in a car accident. Each of them are going to find a different lesson in that same exact scenario.
Right.
So I think the lesson ultimately ends up being what you basically decide to learn from it. But I don't think there's a set lesson involved in this circumstance. I just think that we find the lesson in it. Especially those of us who try to consciously, you know, move through our lives, we try to learn from our experiences, and we just learn whatever we can at the time. For some of us, we repeat it over and over again until we get all the different layers that are available.
Well, I do agree
with
that, that we all get a different lesson.
Yeah, and it's definitely based on our choices and the results of our choices, but my point was that I think a lot of people, especially, I was going to say in the New Age community, but I think it goes across the board whenever spirituality is involved. We think there's some sort of higher force involved that's sort of teaching us a lesson or assigning these lessons to us, and I don't think that's the case at all. Especially if you look honestly at your life, you really just have experiences based on your choices. And sometimes we don't like those results, and we think that's when we think it was imposed on us, or that it was assigned to us. Like, what was I supposed to learn? Well, there's nothing you were supposed to learn, but you can if you want to.
Right.
And that's what I've been trying to do.
And I just usually think it's a good idea to choose to get a lesson out of it.
Oh yeah.
As long as something had to happen. You might as well learn something from it, because otherwise I feel like if I don't learn a lesson from something negative that happened, then I just suffered for no good reason.
Yeah, I agree.
And if I learn a lesson, then I can say, well, I feel better now.
And I also think that if you don't, or if you refuse the lesson, then you set yourself up to attract yourself or create other circumstances that will bring about what it is that you're trying to learn, because, you know, our resistance doesn't, it can only be upheld for so long before we kind of, you know, consciously have to acknowledge that we've learned something or try to comprehend what we've experienced. But I think if we resist it or ignore it or blame, then it's easy to replicate that in another way somewhere else, because these lessons are obviously things we wanted to learn on some level. I mean, because if you think about it, like even in my circumstances where I could, you know, moan about them and complain and bitch, but the truth is I really, really want to understand the experience of love and what that means. And on the surface, that can look like, well, then that means I want to find a beautiful, loving, peaceful, content relationship. Or it can mean finding that and losing it and really loving beyond that.
And also loving yourself.
Yeah, and loving yourself along the way.
It's easier a lot of times, most of the time, it's easier to love someone else. You know, you can think their flaws are cute, and you can this and that, and romanticize the whole thing. But we don't really romanticize ourselves very much. We're hard on ourselves, and I think that's one of the harder aspects of love to learn.
Well, if you guys had to look back over your year, and even if it fits the overleaves that were already given, what would your year have been described as in terms of role, let's say? Or any overleaf that came to mind when you thought about it, but if you had to choose role, what would it be?
Mine, I think, be warrior
artist,
for me.
It was pure chaos for me, so it was definitely an artisan.
I don't know if there's a role that I would pick to describe
another?
The year. I guess different than, I don't think I would pick anything different than warrior. Because there was a very strong, forward-moving, decisions were being made. There was a lot happening. So I can think it was a very warrior year.
I agree.
Yeah,
oh.
It felt very warrior to me.
And realistic.
Well, mine was more like an artisan priest. So therefore, I had the most stories to tell at the end.
That's true. And even if not the most, the biggest.
Was there another overleaf that stood out, though, that you might have described it as? Like, did the sense of having a goal for the year, or were relationships the focus, or was your philosophies focused on for the year?
Well, I think that for me, it changed throughout the year, definitely. I think all my years have a relationship focus, because I think I'm a relationship-focused person. You know, the important things to me, the things that happen in my life that involve me and my friends and the people I care about are the things that are always highlighted for me. I do think, however, that dominance really was a big thing, making choices and not being as concerned with making everybody else happy with my choices, but choices that made me happy, that I felt good about. And whether they were right or wrong, and whether they ended up blowing up in my face or working out perfectly, they were still mine. And I felt very in control of them. And I was okay with even the ones that didn't work out, because they were still mine. I had ownership of them. So that and the change, the fact that so much changed, I guess, based on making choices. But and I think that at the end of the year, oddly, when the chief negative feature was really quite, in the foreground, I think that's when I felt the most connection spiritually, because I really felt that the end of this past year has been more of a reawakening of things that I used to do that I don't do anymore, that I want to do again and have started. Maybe that was the warrior, too. Going ahead with it, you know.
Yeah. Anybody else want to comment?
Gee, that really summed it up pretty well, didn't it?
Jeez. You
yeah.
never let me go first because no one else has anything else to
I
say.
Know.
Well, I have to agree with everything Cypress said there. That was good stuff, Cype.
Thanks.
I find it interesting just because I have a lot of those overleaves. So I can kind of get an idea of what it's like not to be that way. To have, like, these kind of energies imposed on you. Because what you're describing, I'm used to being that way.
Oh.
So I'm like, well, I never thought it would be like just, you know, to not feel that way or not, you know.
Oh, that's
always
interesting.
Taking charge of things or always, you know, seeing things a certain way.
Yeah, there were a couple of years.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
I think I forgot what I was saying.
Oh.
But you know what I'm just saying. I get the, experience what it's like to have to not always have to be that way, and all of a sudden have, you know, these other energies and these other something else being thrust upon you.
A few years ago, the overleaves for the year were my exact overleaves, all of them straight down the board. And I thought, oh, my God, it's going to be such a cush year. It wasn't really a cush year, but I did, when in retrospect, I think I navigated the year probably easier than people who, like for you maybe, who my overleaves would go like against your comfort.
Yeah.
Like in every way. So it was probably harder, maybe harder to navigate, but it definitely is a different feeling when you're sort of in sync with the overleaves as opposed to not in sync. I think it's almost, it's easier when these are so different than my overleaves to see how they affected me as opposed to when the overleaves are very close to you. It's not so much that you see this major effect on you, you see it on other people.
Ah, yeah, that's a good point.
Makes sense.
That's true. And that brings up a good point, the navigation through the year. It seems like in years where the overleaves are in contrast, or what the apparent contrast to your own, it seems like it's easier to, or it's a lot more difficult to navigate through the year, or at least there are a lot more challenges that come up. And then in years where you seem more compatible with the overleaves that are set for the year, it seems like it does. It's not that it goes smoother, but you just navigate differently.
Yeah, definitely.
So I know we've already kind of covered this, but if you did have to describe your past year with or without the overleaves, at the end of the year, what do you think that you got from it? What was it that you got from 2007?
I'm not going to go first.
Yeah, Karen, you go.
Okay. I thought it was a really busy year for me. I had a lot of work and a lot of things changed, and I had a lot of confusion because I decided to shift directions. And, you know, it was kind of a little, I was tired. I was really tired by, you know, by the holidays, like a little break. I'm like, wow, you know. And next year's going to be busy too, but, you know, it's just, I would like hopefully something a little calmer this year.
Oh,
maybe
in an election
my
year?
Maybe that's just it. Also, the overleaves kind of made matters worse. Kind of like
the
Cypress said, when you have overleaves kind of in sync with your own, that it kind of like makes it like an overkill.
Oh, yeah, like an amplification.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that can be the case.
A little calmer.
Yeah, it's like your volume is turned up on what you are.
Yeah, good way of putting it. Shut that racket off.
And Sandy?
Well, I would have to say for me that it was overall a very stressful year, both physically and emotionally. But metaphysically, I felt it was a really great year because I felt like I did a lot of growing this year, and I had a lot of learning kind of thrust upon me as a result of some of that warrior thing. And I think it has just been, I'm glad that it's over because I'm tired.
Yeah, it does feel like that. Like even at the end of the year when I was like, oh good, 2007's gone. The next day I just spent the day pretty much in bed, and I had a headache, and I didn't even, we just barely had a drink for New Year's Eve. But the next day I was just not ready to face the year, and it felt like for this first whole week I've been just sort of like exhausted and recovering, not really all rejuvenated and ready to go forward.
Right.
It was exhausting.
Yeah, I could do with a really restful year. We have a comment here in the chat room from Heidi. She said it was a pivotal year for her, and her world completely turned upside down. And she reassessed old beliefs that were not working anymore. And I think that kind of describes a lot of what all of us have just said.
Oh, my God. That is actually very true. And I think that goes back to the higher intellectual center that we really had to face. I mean, well, we didn't have to, but a lot of us chose to really get to the root of our truth. What we thought was true versus what really was true. for us, or like I was describing earlier, where, you know, in the pursuit of true love, you kind of don't realize what that means until you actually are in the, you know, facing what that really means. It's not beautiful and romantic all the time, and love is something way bigger than that.
Yeah.
For me, that was. If I had to sum up my year, and don't worry, Cypress, you'll get your turn. But if I had to look at my past year and sum it up, it would be, a reality check. And not that I was really delusional with anything before, but, you know, I'm
That's
a magical...
That's perspective.
That's a matter of perspective. But I definitely live in what I consider to be from a place of magical thinking. Like, everything works out eventually, everything. And I love that. I don't want to lose that. But I have, for the first time, taken responsibility for strategy. Like, I finally am organizing it. And it's taking me a little bit of time, but it's happening a lot faster than I thought it would. And I'm sticking to it for the most part. And I'm really putting things, you know, I'm organizing things, prioritizing things, focusing, getting things accomplished, and making people happy with that. And I'm really, really thrilled that that's something that feels like it's sticking with me.
Yeah. Hey, Troy.
Yeah?
Make a note possibly for a future show. I would love to talk about the difference between magical thinking and reality creation.
Very good.
Oh, good, 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 good. That's a good thought. Well, for me, my year, when Karen said busy, that is the first word that came to my head as well. It was a very busy, busy year. But I think what I learned the most was from that dominance and that warrior, that to have confidence in my choices. You know, I've lived a long time, this life and the past ones and everything, and not all my choices, I don't have to look to other people all the time for constant reassurance that I'm doing the right thing or making the right choices or those kind of things. I'm not saying that people aren't helpful, but I can make my own choices with confidence. And I think that's carrying through, I think it's a lesson that I learned.
Well, good for all of us. We survived.
I know. Yes, but everybody admitted at the end of the year we're all tired.
Yeah, we're exhausted. Yeah, give us January to recover before we get too enthused about the new year.
There you go.
Towards the end of the year, I was like, oh, thank God, 2008. And then after it was 2008, I was like, oh, the whole year ahead.
I know, Michael will send out some causal energy vitamins or something to all of us before he sends out an action roll relief.
Well, we're a little bit off schedule today, but that's okay because I don't see any callers on hold or anything, so we can mess around with it a little bit. But I'll bring in Michael in a little bit for some chat about this, and hopefully I'll do a good job. It's been a little iffy off and on in these initial shows. It's a little weird for me to try to go into trance and be conscious more than I normally am. So thanks, everybody, for bearing with me. So I wanted to ask, like, in all honesty, based on the questions that I had sent out to you guys, would you prefer to know the future if it were predictable, or do you find knowing just the probabilities to be enough for understanding your patterns and how to make better choices? Are probabilities enough? Are looking at your future from that perspective enough to help you navigate? Or would you really like to hear, this is where you're headed?
If someone really told you the future, that takes away your option for choice. That there's no point. Then what would the point of being be? You know,
well,
you won't learn, you won't grow, you aren't.
Well, let's say prediction isn't still set in stone, but it's conclusive. It's saying this is what's going to happen. And I guess probabilities are kind of along those lines. But if, let's say, you know, you went to a psychic and they told you all the things that were going to happen in the year ahead, do you think that that would make you make different choices, or do you think that you would feel like those things were going to happen regardless of your choices? Or do you like looking at different probabilities based on, you know, what you can create based on the momentum you're having or how to change directions if you wanted to?
Well, someone telling you that this was going to happen to you is fun or exciting and in the theoretical way, you know. But I don't feel like anybody would ever lock me into anything or anything like that, or that my choices would, I don't know if it would affect my choices. No one's ever told me the future of which I was sure that they were right. So,
has anybody ever experienced a prediction?
Well, I've experienced predictions, but predictions, I guess, to me are the same way as like an energy report would be. Well, this is a possibility or a possibility.
Oh, okay, so yeah. Even when you get a prediction, you think of it as
a
possibility.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Have you ever had a psychic or anybody predict for you or tell you that this is going to happen?
I haven't, and I would hate it. I've been to different psychics. I've had card readings. I've done my own card readings. I've been to see mediums, but they've always told me about the past or about, you know, other types of things. I would hate to have anybody tell me the future, even if I thought they could.
I
would just
not
be comfortable.
Well, we're not talking about whether it's possible. We're just talking about if it were, would you want to know?
Not me.
What was that, Karen?
I don't think so. Well, yeah, but like exactly, you can't do anything about it. And also, because here's the realist, because it's not possible, why are we even discussing it?
Well, there you go.
Because you're a minority right now.
Exactly. Michael would say there's no way to exactly predict something 100% because we all have choice. So,
well,
there.
Here's what I mean.
Discussion
here's what I mean.
Over.
Mostly what I mean is,
ideally,
like, I can only draw from my experiences. If I had known that I was going to be dumped after jumping full-heartedly into a relationship, would I have avoided the relationship? And that's the question, that's the kind of thing I'm asking. Like, if you knew what the consequences of a choice were going to be, even if it were just in probabilities, would you rather avoid certain circumstances based on those probabilities, or do you think that you would rather just let it unfold and not know?
Well, to be honest, especially considering you and when you were talking about that, I think that even if someone would say there's a 99.5% chance he will dump you in the first 6 months, you would have went, yeah, but there's that half a percentage point. I'm going to work on that.
Oh, you're
right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can't imagine even if you knew you would, if you believed that that would happen, that would take away everything that is how you are.
Well, that's what, that's exactly right. That's a good point. Because as long as there's a possibility for what I'm intending,
that's right,
which there is at all times, I probably would have continued regardless of whether, because you can ask Michael, like, what's the, you know, the probabilities of this, you know, what's ahead for this relationship? And they can talk to you about those things. But because we know it's not set in stone, we more than likely just keep going forward, even if it was like 98% probability of crashing and burning.
Yeah, but that 2%.
Yeah,
I'm going over that 2%.
Not only that, but I don't think that it would change what I was doing. I mean, you know, maybe if it was the prediction was that you're going to run into a brick wall if you drive down this road, you know. But if somebody said to me that like, to use your example, Troy, this person is definitely going to dump you. This is not the love of your life, even though it looks like it.
Yeah.
Well, in the first place, that would be a very painful thing to hear.
Yeah.
And in the second place, looking back at different bad and painful relationships that I've been in, something good did come out of every one of them.
Exactly. It's almost
and
like,
so if something talked me out of having had it, I would be a poorer person, not a richer one. So that's all the more reason I wouldn't want to hear a painful prediction like that.
I think that's important to keep in mind, too, which really explains why we experience pain a lot. It's other than a lot of other, you know, metaphysical reasons. But I think it's because sometimes we would rather go forward with our and own our choices and get something out of that than to have things dictated to us and told what to do in order to feel safe. I think that we a lot of times think that we wish that we could make choices that would be less painful, but I don't think it's a matter of pain or pleasure. It's a matter of, I guess, personal responsibility and freedom. You know, is it more important for you to make the choices for yourself or have someone
Or for things to evolve in the way that some part of you decided, some part of you made a choice. You know, much like you, I was dumped a lot when I was young.
Oh, well,
being a female rather than a male, I have a lot of children to show for that.
I would have too, probably.
And if somebody was there to say, well, you know, if you go ahead and go with this person, you're just going to be a single mother alone trying to raise a baby, maybe I wouldn't have done it. But I can't say that the world would be a better place without my children.
Very good. Okay, guys, in the chat room, it's not your Truth Love Energy username that you use. You have to register with Blog Talk Radio, and then that will give you a username for Blog Talk Radio. So for those of you who are signed in as guests, your username at truthloveenergy.com just won't work. You got to re-sign up at Blog Talk Radio if you want to create an identity. And I see the caller 707 area code on hold, and just hang in there. We'll get to you. Thanks for calling. And do you guys think that you'll want to talk to Michael about anything? Do you think you have some questions you might want to bring in? I'll go into trance.
Well, Michael's going to give us a little talk first, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, shouldn't you have organized that?
Okay.
You didn't talk to Michael beforehand?
I don't prepare what they're going to say. I mean,
Michael doesn't submit some sort of log ahead of time?
No.
Well, then let's just go with the flow.
What warriors and kings are they?
Yeah. Well, if I had asked, they might have, but the topic is the last year. And
Well, I bet they'll have something to say.
Well, they might. I don't know.
I think they will.
They always
do. Anyhow, let's
now
do it.
There's pressure on me to make sure that they have some sort of lovely intro.
Well, if they don't, they don't.
No one's going to be judgy.
Okay.
We love them anyway.
Oh, we have a comment here from Val. Very good point, too. Michael said that we learn more from pain, or we think we do.
I think we think we do is the important part of that statement, because Michael said we can learn in a way that feels good, in a way that feels bad. We just don't.
I think you're right. I think that was in the Whole Souls course. There's something about that we tend to attract ourselves toward painful experiences because we just, you know, we think we earned what we learned.
Yeah.
That's right. I try to avoid that.
Good for you.
Well, in consciousness, I try to, but, I think most of us instinctively, if we're not consciously making that effort, that's what we do. We learn toward that pain side.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to our thinking that, or living in a culture that says no pain, no gain. So however cliche that is, I think we really think that, because when things are going really well, we kind of
wait for the other shoe to drop.
Well, you wait for the other shoe to drop, but you don't really share that so much, or you can't really enjoy it because other people around you don't have that. And unless you're all on the same page, it's difficult.
Then they just hate you for having a good life.
Yeah, and then everybody stays, everybody tries to maintain a lowest common denominator so that no one feels left out, no one feels like they're outcast. I mean, there's just a lot of reasons why we choose to keep pain as a common denominator for all of our lessons. And I think that's...
I'm a generally pretty happy person, and it really is difficult. I mean, when you talk to people and you're like, oh, how are you today and everything, and then they give you the Reader's Digest version of how horrible they are, and you're like, oh, and they're like, how are you? I'm like, I'm good. But it is really hard to maintain a good feeling a lot of times when you're met with everybody being so unhappy all the time, although I do a better job than one might expect, but mostly in my farther-reaching circles is easier.
But, well, also, I think we also interpret some things as painful that weren't necessarily as painful as we interpreted them. You know, we can really be dramatic sometimes.
No.
No.
This whole talk of pain has inspired the chat room. They've just come to life down there.
Okay, what they have to say.
Well, we had Val who said that she thought we learned from pain. DAV says, no, learning is equal from either extreme. Pain is just a motivator. Carrotweck says, pain is what happens when the choice is not to learn. Which I'm not sure if I agree
with
that.
I'm not sure I agree with that because, yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that.
Well, Heidi points out that when things are going well, if we're not really grateful, we don't realize how well it's going. So the pain is more obvious.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
point. Oh,
that's
true.
And Geraldine thinks that pain is caused by non-acceptance.
Well, I think the pain is what happens when choice is not to learn. I think that goes back to Michael's, and I think a lot of teachings pointing out that pain is basically a form of resistance. So, and, you know, if we look at it from that angle, then it makes total sense, to me at least, that whenever there's pain, there's resistance. And it doesn't mean that it's the choice. To me, it's not so conclusive that it's the choice not to learn, but it is definitely, you know, a resistance to whatever there is to learn from it.
Yeah, that's a different way of stating it.
Yeah. For me, that's the way I experience it. Whenever there's pain, there's friction. And Michael has said that there is no way to exist within the physical plane, at least, without friction. And they consider friction to be the point or the whole motivating force of growth, behind growth. So friction sometimes is pleasurable, as we all know.
As we all do.
And sometimes friction is not. So
as we all know.
As we all know. I just see, is that Joanne?
Yeah, that's saying, Joanne.
Oh, okay. Saying everyone has a different feel outlook on what pain is for them. So there's no right or wrong. Well, that's exactly what I meant by sometimes it's not as painful as it really is. We just experience it that way because it's amazing. Have you guys ever had a really traumatic experience and then you see someone else go through something very similar and it's hard for you, even if you've experienced it and you can relate to them, it's hard for you to be outside of that and wonder why they're going through so much pain? No.
Yeah, I've had that experience.
Can
I
you
have.
Say that again?
Yeah.
I'm sure I got understood that.
Okay, it doesn't matter how much empathy you have. Like, let's say, you know, when I got dumped and how painful that was for me, when you're not the one being dumped, it's hard for you to see somebody else in that kind of pain and know that they don't have to experience that kind of pain.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though if you were the one dumped, you'd probably feel the same way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it is definitely it's very relative. And
it's
I think it all goes
relative.
Back to our interpretations.
Well,
so
also, some things are easier based on who you are as a person to handle.
Well,
and
yeah,
everybody
yeah.
handles everything differently. And, I mean, there's so many different little nuances that go into who we are and how we deal that, you know, makes everything completely relative in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. And the skills that we build on and the consciousness that we bring to our choices. So,
or
Sandy,
the lack of skills and the lack of knowledge.
Sandy, if you grab up a couple more of those comments, if there are any, and then after that, well, I'm going to go ahead and go into the trance. And I know we're starting this a little bit late, but Cypress, when we get to the, let's say, like the 2:30 mark,
mm-hmm.
Depending on how... If it's earlier, fine. If there's no questions, then we'll go ahead and take call-ins, although there's only one on hold. But about the 2:30 mark, then we'll announce the call-ins.
Okay, I'm on it.
And we'll stop around 2:50 for our wrap-up. All
okay.
right. Okay, so you guys take a little break. It'll be about 5 minutes, and then when we come back, hopefully I'll be in enough of a trance to have a clear session.
All right.
Okay, you guys?
Back.
If you are choosing to call in, now's the time to start dialing. It's 646-200-0772. That's 646-200-0722. And don't forget to register at Blog Talk Radio so that you can participate in the chats with an identity. And check out truthloveenergy.com and register there, too, for lots of fun and lovely people and opportunities to study the teaching. Woohoo! I'll see you guys later.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye, Troy.
Bye. Okay. We are here. Hello to each of you.
Hello, Michael.
We understand that it was of interest from those of you participating in what you refer to as a panel to have us offer some sort of introduction or segue into conversation with us, and we can do that. What we will offer is something that has been around for quite some time, and some of our channels have commented on this subject. And while on the topic of patterns, we feel that this would be appropriate for discussion. Other than in private sessions, this topic has not had a lot of public discussion. But now that there are many of our students who have a general foundation for understanding the overleaves, we believe that that can be built upon with new ways of using that knowledge. And one of those ways would be through understanding your patterns. We understand that looking back over your year of 2007 is a way of looking at patterns. Looking ahead at 2008 and its probabilities and its description in terms of overleaves is just a matter of interpreting patterns. You, on your own, regardless of a year, can look at your life in terms of patterns as well. And one of the easiest ways to do so is to look at the three basic types of patterns that an individual creates within a lifetime. The primary pattern, and we only use that word as a reference, not as an actual definition of it being a priority over another pattern, but as a primary pattern, it could be described as your life in its whole, in its entirety, as having a lifetime pattern. This would be a pattern at the end of the lifetime you could look back and reduce to describing in very simplistic ways. Now, this does not account for all of the variations throughout the lifetime, but we are talking about putting things in a simplified context, which is a very effective way of beginning to comprehend certain experiences. And this is done after the life, and it can be done during the life, looking at what would be described as your lifetime pattern. Within the lifetime, it could be said that you have what is a task pattern. These are periods of time that are related to certain things that you would like to accomplish, whether that be in terms of relationships or goals or physical plane changes, whatever it is that you've determined is a task, or whatever word you would prefer, this creates its own pattern within the lifetime pattern. Beyond this, a third pattern would be considered your healing patterns. Your healing patterns are not only related to issues that generate from within the lifetime and the patterns that result from that in trying to regain a sense of balance or healing, but often these patterns result from other lifetimes and experiences carried over in which the essence has decided it would like, if possible, to find healing or resolution in regards to. These three patterns are a way of looking at your life to understand the different contexts in which you create patterns. The lifetime pattern, which you can look at from the place from which you are at this point. You don't have to wait until the end of your lifetime to grasp your lifetime pattern. It can be assessed at any moment. Just look back over it, and you may be able to find a pattern. Your task patterns you may not be able to look back over other tasks that you've already accomplished and see the pattern, but in the midst of what you are trying to accomplish at this point, you can more than likely see a pattern. And of course, your healing patterns should be more obvious than any of this because they tend to draw a lot of attention. Because usually healing involves some form of pain, and pain gets your attention quite easily. This ties in with the overleaves in that a lifetime pattern can be described using our overleaf system, so that you could look back over your life and say that the lifetime had a pattern that was related to the goal, for instance. So the lifetime would have been very goal-driven. The lifetime may have been, regardless of relationships, regardless of health, regardless of material experiences, regardless of your philosophical stances, everything could be reduced to revolving around the goal. For some of you, the lifetime pattern may have been mode-driven, which means that your patterns may have emphasized relationships over goals, may have emphasized relationships over your spiritual philosophies, relationships over your health. For some of you, the lifetime pattern could be described as having an attitude pattern, which means that your primary experiences throughout the lifetime could be reduced to your exploring your philosophies, your stances on life, on your experiences, and so forth. The same could be applied to each of the other patterns. Your task pattern at the time may be focused on having an emphasis on a goal. Your task pattern may be emphasizing an attitude. And the same could be applied to the healing pattern. There may be a need for healing that is revolving around relationships. So that healing pattern would be said to have a mode pattern. If it's revolving around your issues of perspective about life, it could be said to have an attitude pattern, and so forth. Having an understanding of these three basic patterns and a way to break them down very simplistically gives you, as we said before, a great starting point for understanding the patterns that you live within that were created by you. Within the pattern, and after differentiating which overleaf category you may have approached or created this pattern, then you can break it down into specifics, such as a task pattern having a mode as its entrance or its pattern, and then breaking it down into which mode to give you more details. It will not require you to have entire sets of overleaves to describe these patterns, just a overleaf category, and if you choose to, then break it down further into the specific overleaf. We believe that this would be enough to stir up some conversation among you, and we will take your questions now in relation to what we've just shared or the topic in general.
Well, I have a question. So if you have a pattern and let's say it's goal-driven, does that, would it automatically be the goal you have for that lifetime, or would it be maybe a different goal?
If it is a lifetime pattern, it most likely goes back to your particular goal. If it is a task pattern or a healing pattern, it can be any number of goals from which to choose to describe that particular pattern. Even if the lifetime has a goal pattern, it does not necessarily mean that it's stuck with being reduced to the individual's overleaf goal, but it is a great place to start in trying to get a picture of the pattern of the lifetime in general. So in this case, to simplify our response, if looking at it from the perspective of the lifetime pattern, it is good to go back to your overleafs as a starting point. Beyond that, it could be any combination.
Okay.
Did you?
Yes, that answered my question. Thank you. Does anyone have any other questions?
I do, but first I wanted to ask if Michael could please speak up a little bit. People are having a hard time hearing him.
We
Michael,
rarely
this
hear
is
this
Sandy.
About this channel.
I know. Michael, this is Sandy, and what I wanted to ask, first of all, is kind of a preliminary question. Would it be acceptable to ask what a current task pattern is? I think I can see the life pattern in the healing pattern, but I would love to have some confirmation on the task pattern if that's acceptable.
You are asking this question relative to yourself.
Right.
Yes, that's fine. We have a great amount of emphasis on each of you trying to come up with responses and interpretations of our information on your own, but we certainly are not beyond offering validation. And we will qualify that with the fact that our offering of validation is from our perspective. It is not necessarily accurate to your particular perception from where you stand. And we would encourage you to always go back to how you perceive your patterns over how someone else interprets them, whether a causal being or a best friend. But we would consider your current task patterns being focused on from a mode perspective.
Thank you.
Do you have another question, Sandy, that was a general question?
No, I don't at the moment. I was
Karen?
Really focused on that.
I do have a question. I was questioning the missing axis, because for 2007, it was primarily the action and neutral axis, but nothing from the inspiration axis. And how might that affect us?
Good question.
Most of you can probably answer that question from the obvious that this past year, regardless of what you extracted from it, was probably not easily described as inspiring. In that regard, that is the most obvious way that it has an effect. The emphasis was not on particularly inspiring any individual or group, but rather on assimilating and action, making choices that were tangible. Without an emphasis on a particular axis, it's not that that energy is not available, it is just that it is not emphasized in particular throughout the year. We describe what is emphasized, not necessarily what is lacking. However, in retrospect, it could easily be said that there was a lack of inspiration. In general, we would say that most of our students had a very difficult time over the past year, quote unquote, keeping their head above the water in terms of emotional experiences, feeling overwhelmed, feeling a sense of drowning, feeling difficulties in generating creative endeavors. In that regard, it was quite difficult for most of our students. But that is not necessarily the case for all. Does this answer your question?
It does. Now, just to add to that, would someone emotionally centered be feeling that more so than someone in moving or intellectual centering? The drowning feeling?
We cannot answer that question across the board, but we can say that someone emotionally centered may feel that more generally than another centering. Intellectually centered may also feel it as well. Moving centered probably wouldn't notice it so much, but or if there is a moving part involved, then it may not be noticed as much. But those who are emotionally centered or even having an emotional part will probably have felt the effects of it more personally than other fragments. Yes. But as we said, we cannot speak across the board. We can only speak in terms of inclinations, and that would not be amiss to note that those who are emotionally centered probably had a more difficult time over 2007.
It was stressy. So let's go ahead and take the first caller.
Hey, everybody, it's time for the callers to call in. The number is 646-200-0772. Or you can ask your questions in the chat room, and Sandy will ask them for you. Cypress is going to host now, because I'm still in a trance. If you're already on hold, get ready to participate. Have a great time, everybody.
Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if you... Hi. I think you may have answered some of my question, but I'm not really sure I understand all of this, but my question is...
Well, let's start out first with who are you?
Oh, okay. My name is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
Okay. With, you know, growing up in a life that was just really filled with chaos and getting to be who I am now, I seem to... attract people who are in need of mentoring and counseling and help a lot. And I'm wondering if this has anything to do with my life's purpose, because I have been put in this position many times, and the patterns that I see with myself is the experiences that I have and that I have had. I've had a chance to... or I've come to a point to where I can sit back and analyze them and realize the big picture of it, therefore giving me the ability to help others and understand what others are going through. Is this because this is my life's purpose?
We do not assign or describe life purposes in general. But we can, based on what we've been sharing here, describe to you that your basic lifetime pattern would be most easily described in terms of an attitude pattern, in that this lifetime tends to create a pattern of perspective. It's a pattern of developing a philosophy. And when the emphasis during a lifetime is focused on developing a philosophy, then the lifetime tends to, or the individual living that lifetime can tend to, keenly observe patterns, not only for themselves, but for other people. What you choose to do with that ability is your choice. There is no pre-assigned purpose, but you can find a purpose in that particular skill that you tend to be leaning toward. In your case, having that philosophical stance on life, you can bring a great deal of help, guidance, and influence to other individuals who do not have that same skill or strength. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
We encourage you to choose that this is your purpose rather than have it assigned to you or assume that it was assigned to you. This is a very valid strength that you have, and the people that are attracted to you are not attracted to you randomly. This is part of not only their way of gaining access to guidance and help, but your way of gaining access to experiences that continue to elevate your ability to understand and comprehend patterns within the lifetime, developing, once again, as we said, your personal philosophy about life. It is a cyclical and reciprocating pattern here.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. That answered my question.
Oh, well, great. Do we have any other callers?
Hello.
Hi, this is Cypress. Welcome. And may I ask who's calling?
Is this Cypress?
It is.
Cypress, this is Dave.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. I hope you're having a wonderful New Year's.
Yes, it is going very well. So go ahead. You're on the air.
In coming with the theme of the New Year's, my friends are going through a lot of problems in their lives, wondering how to face the troubles of the new year. My friend Susan, she had a homicide outside of her apartment a few weeks ago. So my other friends are worried about losing their jobs and whatnot. They're not quite sure what to do. They wonder, is it in something in themselves or is it the world out of control? When we get to this point where we don't know whether it's ourselves or the world without us, where do we look? Where do we go? I mean, I'm a sage caller. I'm level 7. I'm old. I can deal with this. It's like I just shrug it off. But everyone around me, sometimes they're like beaten down. They're tired. They're tired of day to day. They don't know what to do. What do they do? I mean, what do people do? That's my question.
That is a valid question for many on the physical plane at any point. Regardless of soul age, at some points it can simply get overwhelming. And it all can only go back to your only tool for moving forward or getting through, and that is choice. We cannot emphasize this enough, and it may seem like a very empty suggestion in that it doesn't rescue anybody by just offering them the reminder that they still have choice. But that is all any individual truly has as a tool for moving out of or through difficult situation. And when we suggest choice in this regard, we mean to choose to get through, even if it's only for the next moment, to choose to focus through another day. Because we cannot emphasize this enough either, that nothing remains the same, the good or the bad, in terms of interpretation. As long as you continue to keep at the forefront of your consciousness that you still have choice, you will be able to create what it is that you want, at least a general direction. During periods where it gets extremely overwhelming, it is fair to resign from conscious choice in the sense that it is very difficult to make clear choices from a place of overwhelm. And for those who have the capability, finding sanctuary, even for an hour, can help bring about some amount of footing in order to clear the head, clear the heart, clear the body, in order to move forward with a more conscious choice. For those who do not have that kind of sanctuary, it is vital that that individual provide that for the self, because regardless of support around you, there is still a way to remove yourself from the overwhelm internally, at least for a while, in order to get your bearings. All of this is still related to choice, the choice to stop for a moment, gain your bearings, the choice to live another day, the choice to look at a situation and interpret it accurately. And by this we mean tell the truth to yourself about what has happened. A lot of what happens within an individual life that is interpreted as so overwhelming is not personal. It is simply a matter of ebb and flow. It is simply a matter of preference. It is simply a matter of other choices happening in the world to which you have exposed yourself. But it is not personal. The instant an individual begins to take life personally, and by this we mean taking it as if it is imposed upon you, that is the instance an individual has lost their sense of power or sense of empowerment. But the moment an individual reminds himself that this is not happening to me, this was not imposed upon me, and I can make a choice from here what to do, however ugly this space is where I am, even if it's a tiny step, it is still a step, and it will move the individual forward. We realize that our words do not offer solace, and we cannot rescue our students from their challenges, but we can continue to remind you that you always have choice.
Michael, your words are comforting, and I hope others appreciate them as much as I do.
Well, thank you, Dave, for a great question.
And
we are wrapping up with the callers now. I guess we need to bring Troy back in for the little wrap-up.
Good day to each of you, and we will move out now. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Bye, Michael.
Trance music.
Yeah, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
I love it. Oh, thank you guys. That was fun. That was a lot. I felt a lot better in this one, having more time. And this is, I think it's a good idea to extend the show to 2 hours.
I think so too. I think it was one of the best shows we've had so far.
Yay!
Catherine says it's the Romper Room TV show music.
Yeah, that's it. Romper Room. I knew it reminded me of something.
Oh, Lord. Well, you know me. I'm just a big old kid. Even
well, everybody likes it.
I turned 40 this month.
Hey, I turned 60 last month, and I'm still listening to Barney.
Oh, excellent. See?
By choice.
Also, did you guys,
yes.
Have to listen to this again to get the full effect, but how was the experience?
The information on the patterns in those three, the lifetime task and healing, I had not really heard that before, so that was really interesting.
Yeah, that was new stuff. I loved it.
Apparently,
we got more callers this time, too. Yay, thank you guys for calling. That's really nice. I really like that.
Yeah, and there was even a question waiting in the chat room, too.
Well, thank you for another great show, you guys. And thanks for participating. You guys really make a good show, and I'm glad to have you with me because it wouldn't be so fun without you.
Oh, thanks.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoy it very much.
I really think we should do one of the shows on the pattern thing. That was a very interesting topic, and it was just touched on, you know.
Well, that's funny you mentioned that, because as part of next week's chat, which will be online on the 13th at truthloveenergy.com at 1 p.m., you just go to the chat room, and that's going to be about the overleaves, and I think that we might be able to tie that in somehow because that's obviously connected. And so I've been trying to pick topics in advance for the chats and everything, so I picked, you know, really, really getting into how our overleaves work, and I think this might have been a little preview of that.
Oh, that's a topic that I've wanted to spend more time on.
So it'll be a text chat, but it'll be there. And the next radio show is January 20th at 1 p.m. here at Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's very exciting because I didn't realize that there were all these aspects to the overleaves. I kind of felt like I had pretty good grasp of the use of them and things of that nature. So knowing that there are all these other things that I've never heard of that can be applied is really exciting.
It is. It's exciting, and it's actually for a lot of us who have sort of, like, just like we talked about at the beginning of the show, in getting the overleaves for the year, we kind of walk away from them and put them in the back of our minds and don't really refer back to them. And I think we do the same with our overleaves. Maybe not so dismissive. We always go back to them, but we really kind of forget how to actually use them. And so I think this will be really helpful.
I do too. To me, I feel like I use mine a lot, but I feel like I need to understand everybody else's much better than I do.
Well, hopefully then we can get some of that done this month. The show's about to end, so everybody have a great day, and thanks for calling, and thanks for being on the panel, you guys, and we'll see you at the next show.
And thank you for organizing.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks, Troy.
Bye,
guys. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.